Today, we're going to actually talk about something a little bit more legal in nature. This is a teaching that if we get it, changes everything. And I know that because that's what happened in my life. As you guys know, 15 years ago, I was raised in a Christian home, but pretty radically, I went all in. There's a new class at Vineyard taught by Bill McKay that's one worth looking at. I think they're going to redo it in the next couple months here. It was the time I pushed all the chips towards the center. I said, Jesus rose from the dead. I don't know if I understand everything about it, but I'm in. All in. Over the last 15 years, imagine this situation like Tim Keller, pastor in New York, says, a bird flies to a tree, makes a nest in it, a tree gets cut down. Flies to another tree, makes a nest, tree gets cut down. Finally finds a home in a rock, cleft of a rock. And at that point, he doesn't have to move anymore. That was sort of the story of my life growing up, and even during these last 15 years, that I've been finding these different areas to kind of put my feet on, and then the tree would get cut down. Put my feet on, build a nest, and the tree would get cut down. And I found something here, guys, that's not moving. And that's what we're talking about in these identities. Talked about being a child. Kitty had a great sermon on being a child. Last week, David had a great sermon on being a bride of Christ. And today, we're talking about being a citizen of the kingdom of God. And this one has some teeth. This one is immovable. This one is about law. And this is like where I live. I love this stuff. This is not like wishy-washy stuff. This is stuff we can actually sink our teeth into and we can demand. And we can say, and as Americans, we're good at this, right? Like, I want my rights. We get to finally say that as Christians. I used to say, like, dignity is not a fruit of the Spirit. You know, like, my pride and my ego don't get to come with me in the Christian life. That you need to learn, I would say, to get stepped on. That's true in some circumstances with people. Jesus got pushed around sometimes by people and disrespected and even ended up washing feet, but he didn't get pushed around and stepped on spiritually. So finally, we get to talk about our rights as Christians. And we're going to start in the book of Ephesians. This is our verse for the morning. It should be on the screen. Yeah, thank you. Therefore, remember, and this is the Apostle Paul talking to what are called Gentiles. Gentiles are non-Jews. He's writing a letter to the church of Ephesus. He's saying, therefore, Gentiles, remember that you are separated from Christ, alienated from the country of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise. This is the promises that came through Abraham, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, I love these but nows in Scripture, in Christ, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace. Skipping down to 17, and he came and preached peace to you who were far off, peace to you who were near. Verse 19. So then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but are fellow citizens with the saints. Okay, great. What do you mean? Why is this important? What does Paul believe about citizenship? All of those types of questions will give light to what we're reading right here. And it can all be found, I believe, in Acts chapter 22. And I'm not going to read this. I'll just tell you the story. Basically, in Acts chapter 21, the Jews come in. They rile everybody up, say, this guy Paul, we need to, you know, away with him. He's disrespecting our Jewish customs, all that stuff. By the way, does Rome care at all? Like, they're like, you guys just need to figure this stuff out. We don't want to be a part of it. I don't care who is God and who is not, just as long as Caesar is. And I definitely care about commerce, okay? We definitely care about the business of being Rome. We don't want any riots or uprisings. So what is Roman Tribune? And typically, they'd have a courtyard where all these uprisings would happen. The Roman Tribune was like a commander of 1,000 people, whatever, soldiers, comes running down the stairs and said, what is going on? You know what? I don't even care what's going on. You look like the problem. String him up. We'll flog him until we figure out what's going on. Strings the guy up. That's the Apostle Paul. Paul's strung up, and he looks at the supervisor of this centurion and says, would you flog a Roman citizen who is uncondemned? And the supervisor's like, wait, what? Runs over the tribune. Are you kidding me? This guy's a Roman citizen. Tribune comes over to the Apostle Paul and says, wait, you're a citizen? That's a lead foot thing next time. Like, you should mention it before we start just ringing you up. And he says, yes, I'm a citizen. I'm a citizen by birth. The guy says, well, I was a citizen because I bought it with a whole bunch of money. What do we notice here? First, when Paul talks about citizenship in Ephesians, he has this in mind. Why did he pick citizenship? You got to think about these things, right? Why are we talking about being a citizen of the kingdom of God? And the answer, first of all, is that this thing's got teeth. It has a ground. It has a footing. It has legal ramifications, legal status. I love this about citizenship. It brings me so much joy because when I tell Satan to stop flogging me, he has to stop by law in the kingdom of God. And that's the first right. Oh, I didn't mention. We have 3 points today. No, it gets better. Hold on. They all start with R. Okay, so what are the rights of citizenship? What are the rewards of citizenship? And what then, therefore, are the responsibilities of citizenship that follow? So our goal today is to look at, we need to stand up for our rights. We're good at that as Americans. Stand up for our rights as citizens. We, number two, live out of our rewards. And if you know these two first things, naturally, responsibilities of being a Christian will follow. Now, what if you start the other way like I did in the first 20 years of my Christian life? Randy, you need to. Christians, no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. That's later in the book of Ephesians, before chapter 2, after chapter 2. It's you need to know unwholesome talk. You need to forgive those who've... I can't do any of that stuff without knowing my rights and my rewards or privileges of being a citizen of God. You see what I'm saying? You have to get your rights and your rewards before you go to your responsibilities. And in fact, we won't even have time to talk about the responsibilities because we won't have time today. First service, we didn't. So, what are the rights? And if you get one, there are three that I want to talk about. There are a lot of them as Christians, but there are three that I want to talk about. And the one that I really want to hone in on, if you get nothing else today, you have a right. And this one, even during first service, I have to pare back the intensity because this one, you have a right to never, ever be condemned. You cannot be condemned anymore. It's not allowed. It's breaking the law. And yet, as I look around the room and as I look at my life before a year and a half ago, I lived my life whipped. And I told you guys about this in July, this teaching where like I get this picture of a lion on a pedestal inside of a cage, inside of a circus, where the lion would put a paw off the pedestal and then you'd see the lion tamer crack the whip and get back, whatever it is, I won't do that again. And then maybe you get off again because you're testing things out and you crack the whip. And sometimes the lion tamer would just keep cracking the whip even though I was doing everything I was supposed to be doing as a good father, a good husband or whatever, a good employee or boss or whatever. And I'm still getting beat all the time. You keep cracking the whip on me. And at this point, God says, Randy, you're the lion in this scenario. Oh, and you're a lion. You're a citizen. You have the law. You grab that hand and you say, hit me again and see what happens. And that's what I've been doing nowadays. You hit me and I promise you, I will tell 25 people about Christ the next day. Hit me and you will pay. Why? Where do I get this confidence? Because I'm a citizen and I know it now. You will not strike me again uncondemned. And that's the second point, right? Is that we have a right to appeal. And you see that in Acts chapter 25 where the Apostle Paul appeals all the way to Caesar. He appealed through the ranks. We can appeal through the ranks. And now we get before the throne room of God and you see the precedent in Scripture, which is in Hebrews chapter 10, which is, here's the precedent, right? By a single offering, you have been perfected for all time. By a single offering, you have been perfected for all time. Here, again, what am I mentioning right now? I'm mentioning our legal precedent straight from Scripture. This is the Constitution. This is the Bill of Rights as an American. We go back. There were whole classes on the First Amendment. Just the First Amendment, which is like sections of the First Amendment, the freedom of press, freedom of speech, whole classes on just that section. We have rights. And what are our rights? No condemnation. This is Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Very easily, there is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, for the law of the Spirit of life has set you free from death, in the law from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life has set you free in Christ from the law of spirit of death of sin and death. If God justifies you, who is there to condemn? Hebrews chapter 10, echoing Romans chapter 8. For their law, for the lawless deeds and their sin, I will remember no more. For where God has forgiven these, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. This is the new life. Now, why don't we live it? Why didn't I live it? Again, no condemnation. So now we're all free to never feel condemned again. Why is it that we don't live it? Let me give you a story from Tim Keller. This whole sermon is just Tim Keller's. It's all online from 1989. I'm just kidding. This little part. He didn't have the three R's, so what's up? But he did say, this is the story that he gave, which I think is so powerful. So imagine a slave in America before Civil War, lives as a slave for 30 years. Civil War happens. Let's say he goes into town, and he's, you know, shouted at, jeered at, move, boy, you can't sit there, sit there, you can't do this, move, get this, whatever. Word around, like a slave. By the way, in Rome, if you were a foreigner, you were likely a slave. That's the way that it went back then as well. Foreigners, slaves. Now, Civil War happens, and the law changes with what's called the Emancipation Proclamation, 1863, or whenever it was. I looked it up, I can't remember. So when that thing came out, what changed? The law. Now this former slave, because he's not a slave anymore, is free. But the next day, let's say, slave goes into town, gets shouted at and jeered and all this stuff. How does this situation play out? All of a sudden, he stands up and says, how dare you talk to me like that? You can't talk to me like that. I have legal rights, and all these people back here can back me. The courts back me. The government backs me. No. He's probably going to tiptoe around for a while longer. Why? Because of his mindset and belief about his identity. But did the law change? Yes. But his identity didn't change. His beliefs didn't change. This is Romans chapter 12. Be therefore transformed by the renewing of your mind. Oh, I've been transformed. You can't touch me anymore. I'm so tired of it. And I won't be flogged again. Not uncondemned. Oh, and I'm never going to be condemned. That's the gospel. Third, right. First, we have the right to never, ever be condemned again. Don't ever let, and I take those thoughts, by the way, and smash them to the ground. So I think I've told some of you guys this. I know my group, but like I was angry one day. It's not that I don't ever get flustered. I have 5 kids. We're going to get frustrated. We homeschool them. Okay, Sarah homeschools them. First service actually thinks I do. She wasn't there. So I walk into Charlie's room, and I was already frustrated. I don't know what he was doing or whatever, how patience. And I opened the door, and the thing hit me back in the head because there's a chair behind it. And it was just one of those days, right? You ever have that where you push, it's supposed to be pull or whatever? One of those days. And before I knew it, I just flung the chair across the room. It was lighter than I thought or whatever, and it just flung across the room. And it hit his Lego set that he had been working on for 2 hours. Okay, so slow motion time, right? At this moment, what my employees now call old Randy, this would be 2 years ago and before. So there's old Randy. None of you guys have ever met old Randy until you guys went to that Hope Church retreat. We went to the family retreat and you met the Hope Church people. My old church people were at this retreat and they got to hear about old Randy. But then there's also old Randy, which was about 2 years ago. So old Randy in that situation, slow motion, would probably go something like this. Well, you just make me so mad. Why do you do this to me? Do you like it? You do this to me. Do you want me to be this way? You know, if you just listen to me. Okay. And you're like, well, I'm feeling affronted here. Salted. Imagine if you were my kids. I know. Well, nope. I won't feel that condemnation. Okay. In this moment, what am I doing when I'm yelling? Get off me. Condemnation, get off me. I'm trying to peel this thing off of me, or think of a hot potato, I'm going to give it to my kids. I'm yelling at them because I literally cannot handle this hot potato of condemnation. What's the condemnation? All the messages. Your kids are going to remember this. They're going to need some serious therapy, a lot like you did. I had 5 therapists before the age of 27. They're going to have major scars because of you. How dare you? You know what? You're just a screw up in everything that you do. I mean, it's crazy how fast things unraveled for me inside of my head. I mean, all of a sudden, I went from like a decent dad to like a complete failure in every area of life. In moments, times like this, and I could hardly stop the progression. Okay, now what happens? Oh, and then that means I'm starting to yell. Now what happens? And what did happen? Immediately, it's almost like as soon as I started laying down the law, because that's essentially what you're doing, you won't talk to me like that, you will not flog me like that. I don't have to listen to you. Back up. Back off. I've always been a fighter. You can see it. You can feel it. Finally, I've got a place to fight. And I have a person to fight. And it's not flesh and blood. It's never flesh and blood. Because when people cut you off in traffic or any of that other stuff, and then you respond to flesh and blood, you're actually losing the battle, not winning. I always say, if you're an adult and you're about to get in a fight, you took a wrong turn. But now you can fight. And this is where I fight. And I'm saying, you will not flog me uncondemned. My king says I'm not condemned. I'm innocent. No matter what I say, I'm innocent. And that's the beauty of the gospel. And so what happened in this situation, I said, and almost, so once that voice stops, I can actually hear my father. This is what Katie's talking about. It's like having a good father, even whatever your father figure was, he's a good father. And here's what I say, just so my kids can get this too. I say, you know, oh, buddy, I am so sorry. I didn't know the chair. I should not have done that. I am so sorry. And I truly meant it. And usually these are the 4 things Sarah and I say is, you know, I'm sorry. I was wrong for whatever I did. I was wrong to the chair. I'm sorry for what I did. Will you forgive me? We ask that. Why can I ask that question? Because I'm free to ask that question because I won't be flogged afterwards by asking it. We don't ask, will you forgive me? Because actually asking that puts you lower than the person. When you hurt somebody, you put yourself above them. Asking to forgive you puts you under them because it's now their choice. Well, that's a scary place to be. It's a vulnerable place to be, and it's only a place that I can go if I know I won't be flogged later. And the 4th thing we say nowadays is that your real father would never talk to you like that, and your real father would never fling a chair across the room. I'm just, and sometimes, yeah, like we joke, you know, the little ones don't always understand the real father talk, but like, but that's the idea. You have rights as a citizen. Let me say this one thing. Okay. The 3rd right is you have a right to never, ever, ever again be enslaved. You say, what are you talking about? I believe, and the Bible teaches all over, Romans chapter 6, something our group's been looking at a lot, that we, before Christ, are enslaved. Now, hold on here. Randy, you're going to tell me that I'm the one enslaved? I can sleep with whoever I want to sleep with. You have one person in sickness or in health. I can hold a grudge against this person who's offended me from now until kingdom come, and you have to forgive them. And you're going to tell me that I'm the one enslaved? And you heard this, right, from your coworkers. Well, look, I actually believe in Christ and that stuff, but I want to have my fun first. I want to have my fun, and then I'll give my life over to Christ. And you can go on. The question for you guys, the question for all of humanity is, who are we going to trust? What is actual slavery? Christianity? Or doing stuff the way you want to do stuff? Adam and Eve had the same question, and what did they pick? You really, really, you can't eat from that tree? Really? Like, he's holding you back. Really? You got to stay with Sarah in your mind and keep clean in your mind? You can go there anywhere. No one will ever know what you're thinking about. No one will ever know if you turn the TV on in your hotel room on the business trip. No one will ever know if you go home with that girl at the gym in Dallas. All these thoughts go through our minds. No one will ever know. Where's the freedom? Who's really free? Who's really enslaved? And the answer is, freedom is in Christ. I know, you were all really wondering where I was going to go with that. There's a BBC documentary that I think explains this. It's called The Monastery. One of our leaders, Bob Tarr, told me about it. A guy named Tony, he did pornographic films, something like that, and 4 other people came to the monastery for 40 days. Just to kind of, in a video, they basically do a documentary on how is this going to go for these people that are out there in the world that go into the monastery. There was a scene where Tony was talking to one of the monks and saying, I've been here 6 days. I got nicotine headaches. I can hardly sleep at night. I mean, you guys are so enslaved. I mean, I can go anytime I want down to the supermarket, get some dirty magazines and some cigarettes, and you guys are sitting here. I mean, it's just, and he's just laughing, talking about this. He's feeling very free as he's talking. The monk is sort of asking questions and open it. And then in the conversation, the monk says, well, it's interesting listening to you. It sure seems like I'm not the one enslaved, but you are. Because I'm going to go to sleep tonight just fine without any desires to look at a dirty magazine, without any desires to smoke a cigarette, without any desires to fill in the blank. And let you can't sleep at night without doing these things. And that's precisely what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 3. It says that don't follow the ways of the world, because this is their God is their belly, and they glory in their shame. Their God is their belly. They do whatever their fleshly desires tell them to do. I promise you, this is my life before Christ. It was like a junkyard dog pulling me around in every direction. I didn't have any choices. I have a right, and I exercise it, to never ever be enslaved again. Do you know, I sin, obviously. I mean, talk to Sarah. But I don't have undealt with sin patterns in my life. I don't have undealt with sin patterns in my life. There isn't a person out there that has offended me that I am choosing not to forgive. Oh, and I've got a few people that have. Well, yeah, I can't share that. Well, I got my first death threat last week. I'm not going to give any details on it, but I'm going to tell you something that I've never gotten one of those before. I will forgive. I have found the kingdom, and I won't give it up for anything or anyone. I will always forgive. I've already gone through the Rolodex of things that used to give me a scare. I used to think, well, what if somebody hurts one of my children? I will forgive. What if my wife leaves me? I will forgive. The answer is I will forgive. I will do that. And the reason is because I will never, ever be enslaved again. I have rights, and I will exercise them, and I believe that that's real freedom. Okay. Second, let's lift the cloud a little bit here. It's getting a little heavy. Second, living out of our rewards. How we have rights, demand them. You have rewards as well. Privileges is really the word, but that starts with a P. So rewards, because it starts with an R. Rewards. We've been learning about, so first, indwelling Holy Spirit. We're not going to get to the other ones, but let's just stick with the indwelling Holy Spirit. You are now an ambassador. This is what the Bible teaches, is that as a Christian, you are an ambassador. You go with the authority of God when you enter into situations. You are an ambassador for the kingdom of God. You are a representative of the kingdom of God. So, 2 weeks ago, we go to Atlanta. This is just one among probably over 100 stories we have nowadays of this ambassadorship. These are always so fun to tell because it's like, you just can't make this stuff up. And here's the big point. You know it's not me and you know it's not Sarah. It's not us. Something else is going on when you hear these stories. Like, I know what our power is. It ain't that. I can't even. The Apostle Paul, with one sentence, got a supervisor of a Roman tribune to say, oh, I'm so sorry, and, quote, immediately take him, okay? If there was, like, one sentence where I could, like, tell my kids to do something, trust me, I would exercise that all the time. If there was, like, a button to push to get them to obey, we would not have problems with Lego sets. There is some truth to that. Okay. So, last 2 weeks ago, we go to Atlanta, and, I mean, we're sitting here, like, this is the ambassadorship. This is what it is to be an ambassador for God. We start by, you know, our Uber driver. You know, we usually try to pray with a lot of them, but like this particular one was a Christian for a long time. He even has like a website called salvation316.com or something like that. And he's like, yeah, I've got this pain in my shoulder and my knees when I drive, you know, and all this stuff. And he said that his mom, he came to Atlanta to take care of his mom, but he says, nowadays I'm in more pain than she is. And so We believe God takes away pain. And by the way, I'm a real novice at this, so I don't know, man. I hope he does. So we're like, well, can we just pray for you? And so we get to our destination, we start laying hands, and he's like, oh my gosh, my shoulder's good. I feel fine. I'm good. Unbuckles, gets out of his car. I get out too because I'm like, where's this going? He's like, hold on, let me check something. And he does one of these. Oh my gosh, my knees. My knees are complete. I feel no pain in my knees. Gives me a hug. And then we let go. And he's like, hug me again. Hugs me again. He's like, oh, it feels amazing. And not in some weird way, but I'm just saying that it's like something's going on with him. And by the way, I didn't really feel very much. I don't think, Sarah, we felt very much in the situation. But clearly something's happening with this guy. He even was like, hey, I want you to write about the Holy Spirit so I can post it on my blog. And I'm like, well, so I wrote this little thing. I was just like, see Todd White, see Dan Moeller. but that's the thing is, like, I know what I'm capable of. I mean, this guy, why would he make it up usually if it's not work? Because it doesn't, you know, it's usually people be like, you know, thank you very much. I really appreciate, you know, you taking the time with me. That's not what happened. Something else. Next day, we get out of the Civil Rights Museum downtown Atlanta. We had 3 hours to kill for the next event. And see Michael, this homeless guy, and okay, well, you know, we call these things our missionary journeys anyway, because you can't always live, you should, you know, but it's hard to live like this when you have 5 kids and all that stuff. So, but these are times where we really want to focus because we've got 3 hours. Long story short, this guy's, he's nonverbal, hardly can talk. We're walking into Waffle House, he's saying, you know, the F word under his breath, and we don't really know how this is going to go. Okay? And we're not really sure always of what to say and what to do in these situations. In fact, I wish I knew more of what to do. So we're novices in a lot of ways, but we sit down with him and one thing leads to another, and we are holding this man's hands in the middle of Waffle House, telling the waitress, not now, commanding these demons to come out of him. Now, how do we get there? He's sitting here eating. And we're sitting there, you know, trying to ask questions, but he's nonverbal, so he doesn't really respond. And Sarah gets the question, are you hearing voices right now? And this is where he finally engages and says, and because he kept saying, I'm sorry, under his breath. Who are you talking to? Sorry for what? Who are you talking to? When they said that, and we said, Michael, can you hold our hands? Hold our hands. He stops you. We're holding his hands, and we're saying, in the name of Jesus, get out right now. Right now, demon of condemnation, demon of fear, spirit of fear, get out right now. You have no place right now. Michael, say it with me. Michael, pray with me. In the name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, fill me. Get out. And that goes on for about 45 seconds to a minute. And now it's starting to manifest a little bit. He's starting to grimace. He's starting to, you know, his face doing one of these. And I'm thinking, we are in it now. There's a table right behind him. The waitress clearly knows what's going on. There's no way out of this one. I mean, we're not screaming, but it's definitely was, you know, awkward at first, and now we're not awkward anymore. Now we are in it, and that fighter's coming out, so we're fighting now. And that's not a fight I'm afraid of. And so we're in it, Sarah and I are praying, and within about a minute, his face of like grimace and contorted, it was just crazy. But he does one of these, thank you. And he says, thank you, bless you. And he's looking at us in the eye for the first time. And he's looking at us. And then all of a sudden, this huge smile comes on his face. And it was crazy, but he starts laughing. Like joy. Like not obnoxious, weird laughing, but joy. And he's just like laughing. And we're just like, now we're like, okay, just bring it down a notch here. You know, you got the Holy Ghost giggles over here. But like, he was free. And we watched it all happen right in front of our eyes. You can't make this stuff up. And I didn't even tell the first service about this one, but the story went on that. We spent 2 more hours that night with a guy named Kevin. We call him Kevin the Teeth Grinder because he grinded his teeth the whole night with a sound. It was, ugh. But we ended up walking all the way to a Greyhound bus station, bought him a ticket to Orlando that night. We're in the bus station. If you ever want to do ministry, go to a Greyhound bus station or Walmart after midnight. Either one of those will do. It was an amazing night, where we served as an ambassador of God. And it was a thrill. And it was everything that I've ever wanted. The next day we said, you know, where is it that we could fight and win? I mean, it's fun to fight and win. Where can we get a thrill, entertainment? I mean, Kevin the Teeth Grinder was a fun guy all night long. He was just a hoot. Like, he gave us this, like, thing he colored. I mean, he couldn't stop saying, thank you so much. He was from Orlando, and he got jumped at a bus station. He came out of the hospital, had his hospital bag. He had stitches in his back, his tongue here. He had no teeth. Well, whatever teeth he had left were back there probably, because that's what he was grinding. I said, Kevin, you understand, if you grind your teeth, you're not going to have any. And so this is, but that's simple, but he's not, and he was just, he got jumped, almost lost his life, and he just couldn't, I mean, people were walking by him all the time. He had not a dollar to his name. Couldn't believe someone would buy him a $100 bus ticket. $100 went a long way that night. It was awesome. Hold on. Oh. What are we talking about? Ambassador. We were an ambassador. We had all these things going. Oh, I really wanted to get this. I actually prepared for this one, too. Okay. Oh, here we go. Okay, yeah. Here we go. We're back. Why don't we live like this? What's a good analogy? This is following sort of the, tag along with the Tim Keller picture of this former slave. This actually, I think, was a true story. I just read it online. I thought it fit really well with this idea of living out of our rewards and privileges as a Christian. The story was a plantation owner left an inheritance of $50,000 for one of his slaves. And this owner of the plantation dies. Estate planner calls the slave, former slave at this point. Says, hey, you have $50,000 in an account. Nowadays, that's worth around half a million dollars, $500,000. Come and get it. For weeks and weeks, nothing. Banker calls the former slave, hey, we have this money in your account. You know, what do you want me to do with it? It's just sitting here, and nobody's come to claim it. And so, and the former slave says, well, sir, do you think I could have 50 cents to buy a bag of cornmeal? Because I don't have any food. Well, you've got more than 50 cents, man. You got a $500,000. But I just want 50 cents. The mindset had no idea what was available to him. He didn't live with money and using money and dealing with money, so he lived in scarcity. And to Kitty's sermon 2 weeks ago, it's like a child living like an orphan. To our sermon, it's like a citizen living like a foreigner. How many times do we live like foreigners when I actually feel like I'm at the base of the mountain of revelation when it comes to what we have accessible to us in Christ as a citizen? And I wonder how many other people are like that as well. Again, no condemnation. We are where we are. That's the freedom, is we can be honest with ourselves about where we're at. And there's no condemnation in that at all. I used to feel condemnation when I would watch this evangelist named Todd White, and I would watch him, and this guy was a crack addict for 22 years, gives his life to Christ, and then he says he saw 18 to 20 deliverances, healings, salvations every day. And I'm sitting here like, 18 to 20, I can't remember the last time I've talked to somebody that gave, you know, and actually believed what I believe. And it's like, I felt so much condemnation at that point. But I remember at that point, I was thinking like, I can just be honest here and say, you know what? There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ, and I can do what I can do. And this is where we started what we now call the Jesus Loves You Challenge, is where I was on the stair step of rehabbing my knee, and I was like, I can't do what Todd White can do. And that was, you know, the honest assessment of who I was. But I can tell one person a day that Jesus loves you. And that's kind of what started, and that's turned into praying for people and all that kind of stuff. But it started with being honest, and I was able to be honest because I exercised my right to never, ever be condemned. And that's what launched me into the privileges, what Christianity offers as a citizen. Let's end with this. Maybe like two more minutes, we'll bring the worship team up. So, we have rights. We have rewards or privileges of being a citizen. We see that the Apostle Paul took citizenship very carefully, and he chose this identity very carefully. If this is true, the responsibilities, I don't have to say, well, you should do this. In that voice, you simply live them out. Because I'm so incredibly excited that I can go into the throne room of God at any time. This is Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, enter the throne room of God, the Holy of Holies, as a high priest would. This is an allusion to the Old Testament. One thought under the responsibilities, let me just say this, just very briefly. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, when it says, behave worthy of the gospel, worthy of the calling, in the ancient Greek, the original language, it actually means, it's more accurate to say, behave as a citizen, which is interesting because in Philippians chapter 3, this is where the Apostle Paul says that you are a citizenship of heaven, not of this earth. Follow Jesus, do what he did. Here's a point, though, that's the general, right? That's the responsibility of a citizen. But here's something I felt compelled to share with you, something that's really helped me. Citizens must remember that they were once a foreigner. You need to live in such a way that you will always remember that you are a foreigner. Small example, somebody cuts me off in traffic. You know what thought calms me down the fastest? Or let me get real here. Somebody's looking at their phone at a stoplight, and the stoplight's green. Okay, all right. Now we're starting. Now we've just gone from preaching to meddling. We all can get a little bit, but citizens have to remember they're foreigners. I have to remember that I've cut people off in traffic before. Now I don't cross lines in texting during. No, I'm just kidding. There actually probably was a time when I was sitting at a stoplight, turning around at the kids, or doing something where it was green. That calms me down because I've been there and I've done these things. And I told First Service, I actually believe that I failed faster than most people in life. And so this is not actually as hard for me as most people, because it's not hard for me to see, after you get kicked out of college for fighting and doing all this stuff in your past, that I really was once a foreigner. For those of you that it's a little bit harder to see because your sins are more acceptable in culture and society, this is something where I think this is more of a challenge. But it is something that the free life, where you don't fall into slavery, to your own self-righteousness, things like that, is when you remember that you were once a foreigner, no matter what anybody does to you. Challenge, are you a citizen, truly a citizen, living like a foreigner? And yeah, thank you, worship team. Are you a citizen living like a foreigner? In other words, are you standing up for your rights, or are you getting pushed around? Here's a question. Are you a foreigner living like a citizen? There are people all the time that line the pews of church, and they know the word of God. They may even carry around an intimidator. But they're actually not even citizens of the kingdom of God. Be careful that you know and that you are a citizen. How do we get there? Recognize, number one, no citizen has ever become a citizen without acknowledging that they're not a citizen. You have to know that you're a foreigner. Number two, recognize that you are valued and you were bought with a huge price. You don't go to Walmart and buy a mountain bike for $5,500. They're not worth it. They weren't worth the $75 that I paid. Jesus bought you. God bought you with the blood of Jesus. Recognize your value. And finally, ask to be transferred into the kingdom of God by the blood of Jesus. Then deny yourself and follow your new king. Live out of your rights, live out of your rewards, your responsibilities will follow. Check in with God that you guys are citizens, and remember always that you were once a foreigner before you became a citizen.